Luke chapter 19, verse 11. This is the reading of God's Word. While they were listening to this, He went on to tell them a parable, because He was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this precious time of hearing Your Word. Grant us an ear to hear Your Word. And through Your Word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through Your Word, let us see what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. O Father, let us not only understand Your Word, but believe and obey to bring glory and honor to You. Be with the one who is preaching Your Word. We ask that because of Your grace, that Jesus Christ will be proclaimed. We thank You. Receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God. And to do that, our Lord is going to Jerusalem. And why is He going to Jerusalem? Well, He told us many times before in this book of Luke. The latest, Luke chapter 18, verse 31, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles, and they will mock Him, insult Him, spit on Him, flog Him, and kill Him. On the third day, He will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what He was talking about. In today's message, the disciples still do not understand. We see that they are close to Jerusalem. They're almost there. But the disciples and the people, Luke chapter 19, verse 11b, thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. Now here we need to understand something. The kingdom of God that the Jews were waiting for, it was an earthly kingdom. A visible kingdom that they thought the Messiah would establish here on earth. They believe that the Messiah will, when He comes, destroy the Roman Empire and establish an earthly kingdom here on earth so that they could rule the world. Thus, they will be powerful and successful in this world. This is the kind of kingdom of God that they were waiting for. But Jesus Christ, as you know, is captured and killed. And after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the ascension of Jesus Christ, these disciples, they still expecting the earthly kingdom to be established right there and then. This is what you read, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. "So when they met together, they asked Jesus, 'Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?'" They were expecting the earthly kingdom like the kingdom of Solomon in the Old Testament. They were hoping Jesus Christ as the Messiah will establish that kind of kingdom. We read this in Luke chapter 24, verse 21. "But we had hoped," these are disciples saying, "we had hoped that He, Jesus, was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." the resurrected Jesus asked them what is going on. The two disciples say, without realizing that person who they were speaking to was Jesus, without realizing that, they say, we hoped that Jesus was the one who was going to redeem Israel. They completely misunderstand the nature of the kingdom of God. The disciples did not understand. In Matthew, we see our Lord Jesus, he speaks of the sufferings that he will receive in Jerusalem. Now this is Matthew. Matthew 16:21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. When Jesus spoke of his sufferings and death, we see Peter rebuking Jesus. Matthew 16:22. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Again, Peter believed that when the Messiah comes, he will establish the earthly kingdom through power and ability that even this world would desire. Thus, Jesus talking about sufferings and death is just ridiculous to them. And you could see Peter was pretty genuine when he says, this will not happen to you. Even if I die to prevent this, I'll do it. But Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Because that's exactly the desire of Satan. Now, also when we read Mark, we see the same thing. Jesus Christ speaking about his sufferings and death in Jerusalem, Mark 10:33, we are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. At this, the disciples request Jesus. Mark 10:37, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. When the earthly kingdom is established, they're saying, let one of us be at your right hand and the other your left hand. In earthly kingdom, let us sit at the chief places of the authority. You see, Jesus is going to Jerusalem to die, and yet all they are interested in was the earthly gain, earthly success. See, they just do not understand what Jesus came to do. Luke 9:45, but they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them. So what they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Luke 18:34, the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. Of course, they understood what Jesus was saying, but they did not believe, and they did not put what Jesus was saying with the things they believe that the Messiah will do. Because they believe that when Messiah comes, he will establish earthly kingdom. And they're going to be successful, and they are going to be powerful. And yet, Jesus was saying something completely different, so they just completely ignored it. They didn't believe what he was saying. If you, brothers and sisters, understand the true gospel, then consider yourself so blessed. Even if I tell you to your face, you will not truly understand and believe unless God pours out His grace upon you. So if you believe the true gospel, oh, consider yourself very blessed. God does not make everybody understand this true gospel. So many misunderstanding arises because the people do not understand the true nature of the kingdom of God. The same thing happens to so many who go to church today. So many of them think that because they follow Jesus, that they will be healthy and wealthy in this world. Of course, some of them will be healthy and wealthy, but that has nothing to do with the special blessing that God pours out to His people. Being healthy and wealthy in this world is what we call common grace. You could be healthy and wealthy even if you do not believe in Jesus Christ. And I say so many times, in actuality, statistically speaking, you have a better chance, and I am using non-biblical language, chance, because I am saying non-biblical concept here. You have better chance to be healthy and wealthy if you are not Christian. Look at it. Look at who is rich and healthy in this world. The focus of the non-believers is on this world. And obviously, if there's no heaven, then what's left? Well, this world. That's all you have if you don't believe in heaven. So their whole focus is on this world. And disciples and all these people following Jesus at the time, they're just waiting for earthly kingdom to be established. This is the same thing as the desires of the Jews in our passage wanting the earthly kingdom. Now, when we read Old Testament, we could find many passages that appear to say that the Messiah would establish the earthly kingdom when He comes. For example, Isaiah 31, verse 4b to 5, "So the Lord Almighty will come down to do battle on Mount Zion and on its heights, like birds hovering overhead. The Lord Almighty will shield Jerusalem. He will shield it and deliver it, and He will pass over it and will rescue it." But you and I, we already have seen that what we see in the Old Testament is typological, meaning the heavenly things are expressed with the earthly things. That is what is going on in the Old Testament. The heavenly temple is expressed with earthly temple. Heavenly wealth is expressed in earthly wealth. That's the Old Testament. And only with the Old Testament, if you only have Old Testament, it is really hard to figure out that the Messiah will come twice. Of course, after you understand the New Testament and go back to the Old Testament, you could see that the Messiah comes twice, but it is almost impossible to figure out that the Messiah comes twice if you only have the Old Testament. Just as he comes twice, the kingdom of God is also established in two stages. At his first coming, the kingdom of God is accomplished spiritually. It is accomplished, but we cannot see it. And only at his second coming, the kingdom of God is visibly consummated. Thus, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God has already come with his first coming, but for the visible consummation of the same kingdom, we must wait until his second coming. Our verse 11 says, the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. So our Lord tells us the parable that starts from verse 12 all the way to 27 to teach these people that there will be an interim period in between his first coming and his second coming. And we're going to look at that parable next time. Well, next week is Lord's Supper, but week after that, we're going to look at that parable. We must understand that for the accomplishment of the kingdom of God, we do not have to wait until that interim period to be over, that church period be over. Jesus already told us that the kingdom of God has come with his first coming. Luke chapter 11, verse 20, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. It has already come. And the kingdom of God that has already come is not an earthly kingdom. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Kingdom of God does not come with appearance at that time, at his first coming. Yes, at his second coming, it will be visible, but even then, it's not an earthly kingdom. So after Old Testament, there will be no more earthly kingdom of God, ever. John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It is, if it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place. Now how much more clearly does Jesus have to say that? Now, understanding of the kingdom of God is different among the churches today. The understanding of the kingdom of God is different largely because of their understanding of the thousand-year kingdom in Revelation 20. Their understanding of that are very different. Revelation 20, verse 4b and 6 says, they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power of them, but they will be praised praises of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, I did preached on those verses, so if you want to hear that again, go ahead. Now, that verse speaks of the kingdom of God in which Jesus will reign with his people for 1,000 years. It is the messianic kingdom. And it has many names. According to the gospel, it is called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. The gospel that we preach is called the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Thus, when we read the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul preached the kingdom of God and also taught Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 19, verse 8, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 25b, I have gone about preaching the kingdom. Acts chapter 28, verse 23, they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. For morning until evening, he, Paul, explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from prophets. Acts 28, verse 31, boldly and without hindrance, he, Paul, preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this verse, Acts 28, verse 31, this is where our church's name has come from. We see in that verse two things that Paul did. He preached the kingdom of God and he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ and heaven, that's where our church name came from. That's what we do. We preach, we proclaim Christ and heaven. Because that is what we see in the Bible, what church did. Christ's church must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Otherwise, they're not preaching the gospel. Heaven is not something that you hear only when you go to funeral. You should hear it every Lord's Day. Because that's exactly what church did. Read Book of Acts. Now, how are we going to understand the thousand-year kingdom in the book of Revelation? Well, it all depends on how we read that book. There are two issues, and I don't have too much time to explain all this. If you want me to have a Bible study with you, just let me know. I would love to hear you. Two issues. Are we going to read that book literally or symbolically? That's one issue. If you read it literally, you will come to different conclusion if you read it symbolically. Second issue, are we going to read it sequentially or as stories are told in recapitulating way? Our church, when it comes to the reading the visions in the Bible, we read them symbolically and we see the stories in the book of Revelation as recapitulating stories. The author is going back to the beginning and retelling the same period in a different perspective. And in the book of Revelation, he does this 7 times. So, depending on how you read that book, you're going to have a different conclusion. But Bible has to interpret the Bible. In order for you to understand Book of Revelation, you have to understand the whole Bible. And it is very, very important that we understand the Book of Revelation. You have to know the end so that you may understand what is the beginning and what is the middle, because it's all going to the end. That's the ultimate purpose of God. And understanding the ultimate purpose of God will help you understand all of God's will in other places of the Bible. Whatever you read, you know that it's going to end just as what you see in the book of Revelation. Well, let's move on, right? So, our church, when we read visions in the Bible, only visions, okay? We're not talking about narratives or letters. Narratives and letters, you have to read it literally. You don't read those symbolically. But when it comes to vision, in which Book of Revelations is about visions, we read it symbolically, and it's not sequential. Because so many times the author comes back to his first coming and retelling the same period between his first coming and second coming in a different perspective. Now, when it comes to understanding this thousand-year kingdom, there are usually three different views. One is called pre-mill. Mill meaning millennium, thousand years. So pre-mill view, the post-mill view, and the amill view. All three views are explained to us in terms of the relationship between Jesus' second coming and the thousand-year kingdom. The pre-mill view says that the second coming of Jesus is pre that thousand-year kingdom. That's why it's called pre-mill. So meaning before thousand-year kingdom, Jesus will come. So it's called pre-mill. The post-mill, obviously then, post-mill view says the second coming of Jesus is post, after this thousand-year kingdom. And amill view also says the second coming of Jesus is post, meaning after thousand-year kingdom. And I don't like these titles. These are not good titles. But, you know, I'm nobody to change it. And I'll tell you why later. So, pre-mill. After the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is a church age, and the seven-year tribulation follows after the rapture of the church, and I'm grossly simplifying the view here. Then Jesus comes, and Jesus will come again, actually. But Jesus comes after that, the 7 years of tribulation, and with resurrected believers, Jesus will reign as the king for 1,000 years. Now, there is a slight variation of this view. We call them dispensationalism, who also believe pre-mill view, but they believe that Jesus will reign only with Jews for 1,000 years, rather than the believers who are resurrected No, Jesus will reign this thousand-year kingdom with Jews. But what is important here? The thousand-year kingdom for the premier view is always the earthly kingdom. Their understanding of a thousand-year kingdom is earthly. And you're going to meet this premier view people a lot because they are the majority out there. The post-mill. After the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church age begins. And during this church age, they believe the whole world will become visibly Christianized. So one day, and from then on, the thousand-year kingdom begins. Some of them say that the kingdom of God began with the beginning of the church age. Thus, they see the number 1,000 as a symbolical number. So you could see there are variations even within one view. But a thousand-year kingdom condition has not begun yet, even for those people. Because they believe that, yes, thousand year began when church began, or I should say when Jesus was ascended, because we believe church began with Adam. So it's wrong to say church began at the Pentecost. Anyway, they believe that right after Jesus' ascension, the kingdom has begun. But the kingdom condition has not come yet. One day, this world will be so Christianized, the kingdom condition will begin. Again, these people, for them, the kingdom is an earthly kingdom. Just like the premier people, this thousand-year kingdom or a thousand-year kingdom condition is earthly. And Amil. Amil sounds like there is no a thousand-year kingdom. Ah meaning no, right? But that is not true. A number 1,000 is a symbolical number. And a thousand-year kingdom period is the same period as the church age. And it is also the same period as the seven-year tribulation. So the kingdom has already begun, and it will be visibly consummated when Jesus Christ comes. The same period is looked at from different perspective. As a church age, or as a thousand-year kingdom, or as a seven-year tribulation. It's the same period. Remember this. And the difference is this. There is one really important difference. For Amil view, the thousand-year kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. It is a heavenly kingdom. Only Amil. It's not earthly kingdom. And our church believes in Amil view. Now, historically speaking, when the theologians speak about the different views on the thousand-year kingdom, they divided pre-mill on one side and the post-mill and the amill on the other side, dividing them according to the relationship between Jesus' return and the thousand-year kingdom. Pre-mill, his return is before thousand-year kingdom, and post-mill and amill, his return is after the thousand-year kingdom. But we don't like this division. We don't like it talking like this. We divide the pre-mill and post-mill on one side and amill on the other side. We divide them in terms of this thousand-year kingdom being an earthly kingdom or a heavenly kingdom. That's how we divide. Because both the pre-mill and the post-mill speak of an earthly kingdom, and the only amill speaks of the heavenly kingdom. And Jesus tells us very clearly, the kingdom of God does not come The kingdom of God does not come with our careful observation. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And for the pre-mill and the post-mill, the thousand-year kingdom is a future kingdom. It's not present kingdom. Because they talk about the earthly kingdom or earthly kingdom condition that has not happened yet. Which means their kingdom is in the future. Only amill. Heavenly kingdom. Well, you could say some of the post-mill says, oh, kingdom has already begun. But even those people, the kingdom condition has not come yet. It's still in the future. Even, I just said that. Only the amill says that the kingdom of God has been already accomplished, and the kingdom of God is the heavenly kingdom. And Jesus Christ is already seated at the throne as the king of the kingdom of God. You have to understand, if earthly kingdom has not begun, then Jesus is not reigning as the king of that kingdom. Not yet. They need to wait. Only we can say he is our king presently, and he reigns. He already sat down at the right hand of God as the king of that kingdom already. Let me end. The earthly kingdom of God, it is the same eschatology, when I say eschatology, study of the end, same eschatology as of the Pharisees. Because they were waiting for earthly kingdom. Now, some of you are saying, what is all that has to do with me? Well, let me tell you. If our focus is on earth, then you have the same desire with these Pharisees who are waiting for the earthly kingdom. Desiring the earthly kingdom is the same thing as being healthy and wealthy on the earth. The Bible is very clear. Our focus should never be on this world. It should be on heaven. Only time when the kingdom of God was an earthly kingdom was during Old Testament, when the kingdom of God was accomplished typologically. With the coming of Jesus Christ, the end has come already, and this world has, one sense, already passed away. Jesus is our present King who is sitting on the throne of kingdom of God, and He currently reigns over the kingdom. And we are already the citizens of that kingdom. We're not waiting some earthly kingdom to come, but it has already come. Philippians chapter 3 verse 28, but our citizenship is in heaven. I know that word citizenship can be translated differently, but the idea is the same. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of Son He loves. Brought us already into the kingdom of His Son. Past tense. Thus 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So God says we should focus on eternal things, not on earthly things. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 through 3, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. If we were called to wait for earthly kingdom to come, then how can God says, let your eyes focus on heaven, and do not set your heart on earthly things? Why would He say that if we are to wait for earthly kingdom? But the sinners, they love this world. So many people who go to church, their only reason to come to church is to receive blessing from God so that they could be powerful and successful and healthy in this world. That's what they want. But that's not us. The reality of heaven is our present spiritual reality. Yes, the kingdom of God has already come. And when Jesus returns, it will be visibly consummated. We are not to desire this world or the things of this world, God says. We are to seek the heavenly kingdom of God. And Lord Jesus, come quickly, we say to Him, because that's when the heavenly kingdom will be visibly consummated. Well, next time, we're going to look at that parable, starting verse 12. But I thought we need to understand what is happening in verse 11 so that we could understand that parable much better. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what we talk about is nonsense to the world. Heaven is nonsense to the world. They will say, well, heaven, well, we need to wait for that. When we die, maybe then we should talk about it, but what is important is here and now. But to say we're living by faith is to have our eyes focused on heaven. More and more, it's beginning to look like Revelation chapter 11. The two witnesses representing Jesus, representing the church. I should say church. two witnesses. They die. The world kills them. And I think that is becoming true. Witnessing the kingdom of God and heaven, kingdom of God and Jesus Christ, the church stopped witnessing, meaning church died. And Bible clearly teaches us that when they die, world celebrates. But they resurrect, and that's when Jesus comes back. It is so sad that witnessing of the true gospel is disappearing. But at the same time, we're so happy because that means that Jesus' return is very close. But until then, we preach Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace upon your church. We thank you for giving us the gospel of heaven, gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Oh Father, no matter what happens in our lives, let us preach. Preach Christ and heaven until we see you face to face. Bless us, God. Bless your church. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.